Hello and welcome back to Chick or Hate Podcast with
Nola and Shay. And if you hear any noise, that will be either G or P. Right now they're chilling. Oh, I said P. Yeah. I meant G or E. My bad.
They're napping right now, so we're calling them by the first letter of their names.
So recently, it's happened a while ago, but we couldn't talk about it yet until it was finished. But adoption or
organization?
Organization that we adopted G from, they were in the process of changing their name.
Yeah, and so we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And we found out through our mom because they reached out to us. Apparently, we were just so memorable when we came to adopt Gemini the last time we were there that they were like, let's invite these lovely people back to help welcome in our new name. And we said, of course, obviously, like, that's perfect. Like, you get to spend time with animals.
I know. Mm-hmm. And it was for a day, it was a photo shoot, and to like get photos and videos for their launch of the new website. Mm-hmm. So we woke up like a little bit on the earlier side, but not super.
Mm-hmm.
We get there, we were like the first people there, surprisingly.
I know, we just wanted to be on time when it comes to like important things like that. It's like, this is our child, this is our baby. So, of course,
anything, you're gonna come correct.
Anything that comes to them. And at this point, we just had Gemini.
Oh.
At this point, we just had G. So, we're like, yeah, everything's about him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's
even now, it's still about him, but we just added E to the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there. Everyone who walked in that room or walked past that door, G was barking at.
They were going to get barked at, which is so funny because you know these people, technically. Like, you were just here.
You've known them longer than you've known us.
2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like, you were just here 2 weeks ago. He forgot where he came from.
I know. That quickly. He's like, I made it out the truck.
He got a cute little sweater now and a nice, stylish, cute leash.
Eating gourmet food. You think he all that? I mean, he is, but like.
He is. But he forgot where he came from. Show respect.
I know. And more people started coming in and started bringing in their animals. Every animal there was cute. It was mostly dogs, but there was these two women there. One had a cat, and then the other one had a dog, and they were best friends.
Which is so cute.
Yes. Oh, my God, that's so adorable.
And the two ladies I brought them in, they were friends, too. I'm like, that worked out perfectly
for me. I know.
Like, two besties and two besties, animals and then human besties. And they were obsessed with their animals.
They were. They had, strollers.
Strollers, cute little outfits and snacks. And she was like, hi, you want to meet my cat? You want to meet my dog?
Like, of course I do.
Mm-hmm. And every animal in there was very well trained. It was just Gemini acting out.
I know. It was so embarrassing. It's like, oh, my God. No other animal was giving their human stress.
Or barking at any humans that walked by. He actually didn't bark at any animals.
Trying to run up.
Mm-hmm.
He did growl, though, at some. I'm like, Gemini, every animal in here is bigger than you. I don't know who you growling at.
Oh, my gosh, right. Especially then, he was so little.
Mm-hmm. And then the two ladies that we were talking to, they were like, yeah, we bought, they said that their dogs, like their cat and dog, they were best friends, and then they couldn't see each other because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then when they met up, they were like they're like, oh my God, my friend.
They said that they were so excited and they cuddled. I'm like, that's so cute.
And they also gave us this flyer because they did this thing called, like, it was I don't remember what it was called, but it was for animals. And they offered it at the adoption center that we got G from, where they get training and they become service animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go with, but it's like, it's a little different, like not just like training and to get service, like get certified for a service animal, but it was like a little step further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, we need to get that because every animal in our family needs that.
Yeah, we need to get it for every single dog. So we are actually right now, this is like a few months later, we finally have started the training process. And I'm so happy that we did.
Because I can't live like this.
Like, we're exhausted. We're bent out of shape right now.
I don't have anything left to give. I'm tired all the time. I don't know what else to do.
Like, all I know is that I love them, but that's not enough.
I know. Being a parent is just too much. And so that was that. It was fun. It was great hanging out.
Recording. So we had a video taken of us, like, walking and holding G and giving him love, which was so cute. And G did really well. He was, at first, he was a bit skeptical because there was a big camera following him around and this male that he's not fond of, because Gemini does not like males. Mm-mm. Especially males with beards, but males in general, he just is not a fan of. And so at first he was barking at him. And so he has to get comfortable with him and that camera. But after that, he warmed up. And he did really well. People were like, oh my gosh, he's so cute. Like, we know, thank you. Your animal's cute as well. And just conversing with all the animal parents in the room, it was like, wow. Being in that type of environment is the best type of environment. Everybody is so happy and in love and care for their animals.
I know. It was great. I was like, animal people are amazing. Because mm-hmm. they were telling us all their stories, and they were like, yeah, you know, it's so important to adopt. Mm-hmm. You know, we only ever adopt, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, for real, I could hang out with y'all.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And somebody was telling us that it took her dog 5 years to warm up to her husband. And we're like, oh, gosh, is that about to be Gemini? Because at this point in time, Gemini was not fond of our dad at all. He still barks at him now, but I think he just does that
just to
be me.
Because he's a Gemini.
He's a little bully sometimes.
I don't want to call him a bully. He just has he's stuck in. He has his habits. He has his ways. I'm not saying they're right.
Noah,
what?
That you're making excuses.
Wow.
But we're like, oh my gosh, is that going to be Gemini? It's not going to be him. Because he's better now, which I'm happy about. But at that point, I was like, oh gosh, I hope it's not.
I know, because it is a lot. Mm-hmm. Any like sound, he just sees our dad. He just goes off.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird, because our dad's like always giving him snacks. Like,
I know.
Hi, buddy. And then he gets barked at.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're going to do a recently watched. We're going to talk about this movie called Nobody. So mm-hmm. this is actually very funny. Our mom went on a trip a few years ago, and then she came back and she was telling us, she was like, you guys, listen, I want us all to get together. I want you. I want Nola, Shay, your dad, our aunt, and our cousin to get together, and we're going to watch Nobody. And I was like, okay, what's so important about it? She's like, it's a great movie. It's a vigilante movie. She loves vigilante movies. And she's like, we're all going to get together. We're going to watch. It's going to be great. And then we're like, okay, fine. We're going to do it. And I'm glad we did, because honestly, as it came, like, one of my movies where I just play on for background noise now.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. And she was hyping up the movie. And now I think it's a good movie. It's not like a masterpiece by any means.
So the movie starts off with this guy. His name is Hutch. He's also the guy who plays Saul in Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. So it starts off, he's like, it's his alarm going off, and he's like getting ready for the day. He goes downstairs, and his wife is making coffee, and she's like, and he runs outside to go and put the trash in the trash can. But the garbage guy is already there to pick it up. And he's, like, chasing him down the street. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back inside, and it's the wife. And she's like, you didn't take the trash out. And then it cuts to him going to the bus stop. And he's, like, doing pull-ups on the rail of the bus stop, like, waiting. And then that cycle repeats itself. So it's, once again, him waking up, him missing the trash, him coming inside, his wife being like, you didn't take the trash out. Him going to the bus again and doing pull-ups again. And that repeats maybe like 3-4 times, like to show his routine. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to night. So the family's like asleep and everything. And all of a sudden there's a break-in. Mm-hmm. And he hears the noise. He comes downstairs and he goes to like the house phone.
He grabbed a bat and came downstairs.
He went to the house, like dialed the house phone. And then the robbers see him, and they're like, stop, put your hands up. And he's like, oh, my God.
And so he was basically just complying with them. And he has two children, a son and a daughter, and his son came down the stairs and tackled one of the robbers.
There was two robbers, a guy and then a girl.
Yeah, and he tackled the guy robber, and they were just tussling on the floor for a little bit. And then who had the gun?
The girl. And she was like, "Stop, get off of him or I'll shoot you. I swear to God, I'll shoot you." Mm-hmm. And then Hutch is like, "Son, let him go." And then he's like, "What? Like, are you serious? He's robbing our house. You gonna let him go?" And he's like, "Yeah, just let him go." Mm-hmm. And then he lets him go. The guy punches the son in the face, and then
they take whatever they took. Like, they didn't have much to take, so it was just like some jewelry and watches.
It was his wedding ring and then his wallet with a few dollars in it.
Mm-hmm. And then that was that break-in night. The police came and they were talking to them outside, and one of the police officers said to him, "Man, you know, if that was my family, there would be no holding me back from stopping them." And that, like, the camera panned off to the family looking at him a little bit. And then that's where it cut off.
And he was like, "Oh, this is making me so mad. My beautiful house, my beautiful family. Mm-hmm. We were robbed by a pizza box because they broke into his house using a pizza box." Mm-hmm. And so the next day he goes to work. He works at his wife's dad's company, and so his brother-in-law works there, and then his father-in-law employs them. Mm-hmm. And he goes in, and so apparently he was trying to buy his father-in-law's company, and so the father-in-law is like, "Hey Hutch, like, do you not like working for me or something? Because you keep making these offers and everything." And he's like, "No, I love it and everything, but, like, you know, I want something of my own." That's what his that's what his excuse was. And then which
now looking back, I'm like, why didn't he just do something else? Mm-hmm. Hugh really had all the freedom to do anything.
I know. And then the brother comes in. He's like, "Hey, I heard about that break-in last night." And he hands him a gun. And he's like, "I don't want this gun." And he's like, "Well, gotta keep my sister safe. I don't care what you want. It's about the need." And then so he grabs the gun and then he puts it in like a frozen waffle box. Mm-hmm. And he puts it in the freezer. So the gun's in the work freezer. Mm-hmm. And then some time goes by. He goes back home, and then he calls his brother. And
oh, wow, you got a good memory.
I know, right? Steel trap is coming back to me. Mm-hmm. And so he calls his brother. Oh no, he visits his dad at a
nursing home.
Yeah, nursing home or retirement home. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just chill. He's like, "Hey, Dad, what's up?" He's like, "Hey, son." Like, you know, that's pretty much it. And he goes home. And then he calls his brother. And he's like, "Hey, I heard what happened. What's good?" And this is when you're like, oh, okay, he ain't no regular dude. Mm-hmm. He's talking about, "Yeah, you know, they broke into our house. They had a 5mm something gun. Mm-hmm. I could tell it was empty. The girl was holding it. I could see there was no clips in it. And she had a tattoo." And then he's like, "Now I see why you didn't do what you didn't do," because he knows how to handle himself.
Yeah, which we find out a bit later in the movie. That being said, still though, they broke into his house.
I know, I don't
and
care.
Then they put hands on his child, you know.
You're gonna get got.
Yeah, it's like they still, you know, are committing a crime, and their bad actions are towards you and your family. So wouldn't you want to handle that knowing that he
is justified
in a different way than probably most people can? It's like, yeah, but
it's justified.
Mm-hmm. And also self-defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then cut to the family having dinner, and his daughter was like, "Hey, have y'all seen my kitty cat bracelet? It's gone." And they're like, "No, we haven't seen it. Have you looked under the couch?" Da, da, da. She was like, "No, it's not there. It was in that bowl. It was in the bowl on, like, the dresser." And in that bowl on the dresser, what was inside of that, that is what the robbers took with them that day. Or what they stole that day, that night. And this kitty cat bracelet, it really ignited something in our main character, Hutch. He was just like, he saw red. Mm-hmm. After that kitty cat bracelet was took,
he got about that house and was like looking around.
He started to search for the two robbers that broke into his house. And so from the tattoo he remembered the lady having, he went to different tattoo parlors and was like, did anybody come to you with and get this tattoo? Some said no, and then he found the correct tattoo parlor, and they were like, says who? Who's asking? And what did he say?
He pulled out some money, and he was like, and then the guy, Hutch pulled out some money. He's like, I'd like to know, but can y'all tell me anything? And then the tattoo parlor guy was like, you know what? You shouldn't be coming out here flashing cheese like that. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you know, there are certain people who flash cheese. People are looking to intimidate, or people who wish with every fiber of their being you would take it from them. And then, as he's talking and everything, when the guys at the tattoo parlor, he sees like a tattoo or a signal or something that Hutch had, and apparently that meant he ain't someone to mess with.
Yeah.
And so he was like, oh, thank you for your service, I'ma head on out. And he like locked all the doors behind him.
Yeah, so there was this door with like 50 billion locks on there.
Like, why got all them locks on that door?
He locked all the doors and then he ran. And so that told the other people not to mess with him. They're like, okay, listen, here's a book of all the people who tattooed. Hope you find who you're looking for.
And then he stumbles across this couple. And this scene, like, really made me mad. Mm-hmm. Because it was the girl, the robber, the female robber. She was making dinner. And it was cup of noodles. She put, like, a splash of...
a teaspoon of hot water.
Like, it was... I was like, are you serious? She put like a single solitary drop of water into like the gigantic cup of noodles, like mm-hmm. the large ones.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was like a regular size one, it's still not enough water. I ain't gonna do nothing but piss you off.
It evaporated on sight.
Like, I know.
On contact, it's gone. That was hilarious.
But let alone like the larger cup ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so
See them, the robber couple, just minding their business, like eating their hard, not cooked ramen noodles and talking. And Hutch breaks in and pretty much tears up the house and is like...
He just punches the male robber in the face.
Oh, my bad. He punches the male robber in the face, and also Hutch has a gun with him, and he was going to shoot the male robber, and he was saying like, where is the GD kitty cat bracelet? He kept on saying like, where is the kitty cat bracelet? And they're like, we don't know anything about a kitty cat bracelet, please don't hurt us, please don't shoot us. And then you hear a baby crying. This couple has a baby that's like in the other room. And he decides not to kill them because of that. And I find it interesting that they're crying and saying, please don't hurt us, when they did the exact same thing to them.
Mm-hmm.
A bit hypocritical.
And wasn't the baby sick? I feel like the baby was sick, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on that. I feel like the baby was sick, but I also don't really 100% remember.
And the baby is not that important.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't play a big part in this story. It's kind of just like the last time you've seen it.
Yeah, this is like the last of that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just walks out and he's like throwing it, like he's like punching a wall, like, ah, like just like, I, what's going on? The mm-hmm. the terror, the war. And so he gets on the bus.
Yeah, on his way home. And there in this bus, there's the driver, of course, and another lady in the bus. And you see a car crash. That's not the bus, but you see a car crash and they crash into a pole, and I don't know, I think about like five guys get out. They are drunk. They are just wasted, like can't stand up straight.
Yelling, like, yeah. You know they were drunk because that car accident would have knocked them out otherwise.
Mm-hmm. For sure would have. My god. And so they all got out of the car and then they see the bus and they're like, hey,
there's a bus.
Yeah, bus, open the door, bus lady, open the door.
And this idiot opens the bus and lets them in,
opens the door. I'm like, that is so not smart. You hear, like, I'm sure you don't have any type of training, and you let males onto this bus?
Do they even have a bus pass?
Right? Do they even have a bus pass? They didn't even pay to get on the bus either.
They just walked on. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, and then she let them on the bus. Mm-hmm. And they were like making all this noise or something. And then she gets up and it's like, you guys, come on. Mm-hmm. Can you please sit down and hush? Mm-hmm. Like, come on. What makes you think
they're going to hush?
Can you please calm down? And it's like, you saw how belligerent they were outside. Mm-hmm. And you're going to let them on the bus and expect differently? Mm-hmm. You an idiot. And then they were also like, kind of like harassing the girl passenger.
They were giving like unwanted sexual advances towards her.
Because they were like, you know what? It's kind of stupid for a girl to be out here this late at night. It's by herself. It's kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. And so Hutch is like, okay, you know what? I've been looking for some trouble all night. This is my time to shine.
He really wanted to get his big one. Like they say on Baddies, but he really wanted to, and since he didn't decide to do his big one with the two robbers, here is another perfect opportunity for him. And also these people seem to be horrible,
and so he like escorts the bus lady. She made me nothing but mad. Mm-hmm. He just escorts, illogical and stupid, and he doesn't even like really have to do anything super intense. He just very slowly, calmly escorts her mm-hmm. off the bus. Mm-hmm. And then
she was like, no, but was backing up. I was like, girl, get off the bus.
I know,
like, stop putting up a fight. She's just like,
I don't, girl, what was you doing? You mm-hmm. look so stupid. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would fire her. Mm-hmm. But and so the other female still on the bus. And so they see him remove the bus driver and him come back on the bus, and he closes the door, I think. And mm-hmm. then they turn, he's like, and then they're like, what's wrong with you, old man? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, I'm gonna F you up. Mm-hmm. And the way he said it was so like, I did, because like, you don't even sound like, ooh, like, okay. But he did.
Yeah, he really did. He really did. He tore every single one of them.
At first, they was giving it to him for a good moment, but then he, you know, flipped the script.
I wouldn't say they were giving it to him. They got some licks in, which, you know, it might be, you could say it could be a given because there was five of them. If nobody got a hit, it's like, y'all are just pathetic.
I know.
But there was five of them. So they got a few punches in. But maybe all together.
They threw him through one of the windows of the bus.
Oh, yeah. They threw him through one. And that was the last thing that they did to him. He demolished the five people. He, like, broke arms. He stabbed through necks. He used a seatbelt to choke somebody out. He went off.
And then this one in particular, it was this guy, because he had a gun, Hutch, but he, mm-hmm. like, unloaded it mm-hmm. to be like, listen, I don't need no gun.
At that point, you should have just been like, hey, I'm sorry.
I don't need this gun to hurt y'all.
Basically, they should have took that as a warning
sign. I know. I was like, oh, y'all, no, I'm about to leave. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not with them. Mm-hmm. But when this guy in particular, he saw the gun on the floor and saw all the bullets, and he went to go and, like, load it.
Like,
but he looked terrorized, like, terrified he was doing it.
He was scared. He was shaking. Since he was shaking, he couldn't put the bullets in. Like, he had no time in the first place.
I know. And then Hutch, like, grabbed, like, some kind of pole, and he, like, whacked him in the throat. And then he started, like, choking on the blood building up in his throat. Mm-hmm. And then the girl that was in the bus, he ended up being like, get off the bus, like, some part in the fight. And she, like, threw her drink on the floor and was like, thank you. And mm-hmm. she took off.
She ran.
He was like, leave. Smart. And she said, work, mm-hmm. say less. And she mm-hmm. took off. But and then so he was like bleeding profusely, like choking on his blood and everything. And then he like cut his like neck, and then he put the straw from her drink in his neck to kind of like not kill him.
Trachea
to like get that like relief, to get that airflow. Mm-hmm. And then he like got off the bus and left. And then this, mm-hmm. I'm like, and then the bus driver was like, oh my God, what? Mm-hmm. Looking stupid the entire time. And I was like, girl, you did not do anything right.
Yeah, she could have called somebody.
She could not let them on the bus in the first place. Mm-hmm. But that car crash had nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. This do.
Mm-hmm. This all happened on your bus. How are you going to explain, like, five dead bodies on a bus?
I know.
Four dead bodies and somebody barely clinging to life on your bus.
For real. And then he goes home all tore up and everything, and then his wife's there. So their wife, the wife and him, they have like a pretty, you know, rocky marriage. Mm-hmm. She sleeps, like they sleep in the same bed, but she has like a divider. Like she puts, like they're not touching, like she puts like pillows and like blankets and like just anything she possibly can to create space between them in bed. And then he goes home and she's like, oh, he tore up. And so she's like patching him up and everything. He's like, you know, basically like, you know, listen, I miss what we used to have. We used to be so close and we used to be in love. Now we don't even, you don't even look at me anymore. Like, this. And so I don't know what the whole background with that is, like why she can't stand to look at him. Because he's not a bad guy from what I've seen.
But like, he's not horrible.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy at all. But I'm like, I want to know what happened with that. Mm-hmm. But then that night, she's like, you know what? I'm not going to sleep with a pillow dividing us tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at him in the face. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, apparently that was a big moment in the relationship.
And then it cuts to this bar. It's this guy. He's, like, driving. And he, like, crashes into something.
His name?
Yeah, Julian. Mm-hmm. But his name didn't come up yet. I'm going to say it. This guy named Julian. Now, he's, the leader of this Russian mafia gang, like, one of them. And he goes to this club that he owns, and he's just, like, dancing.
He was having the time of his life. I think, didn't he do cocaine?
He did.
He
most certainly did do drugs.
He did some drugs, and then he's, like, he got up on stage, and he started singing. Though he did not sound good, the song sounded good in itself. He was just having the time of his life, singing on stage and dancing. And the crowd was feeding him energy. But I guess based on how he acts, if I was in the crowd, I'd be like,
oh, my God, Julian, you're so good. You go on that tour. Like, oh, my God, you're one of my favorite singers ever. And then so he's, like, finishing up. Everyone's high-fiving him. Like, oh, my God, Julian, you were lit. You were great. And this one guy in particular, he kind of gives him, like, a stink eye or whatever. But he notices it, and he'll come back because he's, like, not feeling him. And then Julian like, ooh, so we're gonna have a problem. And then it cuts to like this group of people and they're talking, and his nephew comes up. And then the guys that he's talking to, they're making jokes about him because he's like biracial. He's like black and white. And so
they're like, we've never seen a black Russian before,
right? He was like, who's this blackie right here? And then he's like, this is my cousin. This is my nephew. He is no different than us. He's still Russian. And the nephew's all like, yes, my dad left me and my mom to fend for ourselves. And the guy's like, if about Othello over here. Like, I thought it was so funny that he called him Othello.
It's horrible.
I thought that was hilarious. Uh-huh, but anyways, they're like, Julian, we're having issues. So there's this thing called the Opshak that the Russian mafia takes place in, where like it's like a big surplus of money. And then they trade off to each different like mafia family who's in charge of washing it. And at that particular point, Julian was in charge of watching the Opshak. So they were like, listen, we're starting to get a little concerned because you out here partying and dancing and everything, and we're concerned you don't have that same fire you used to have.
We're letting you for our money though.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to show y'all. He was drinking a drink, and he broke his glass. And that guy that was giving him, like, stink eye, he proceeds to slice and dice him with his broken glass.
Not slice and dice.
But did he not, though?
He did slice and dice.
And then he was staring at him like, okay, and? And they're like, do you know who that was? And he's like, inform me about who that was.
Yeah.
And they're like, he was one of our shareholders. And they're like, oh, okay.
And he really did not care.
He's like, and?
Okay, and he's not no more. Like, he's dead now.
And so they're like, I guess we're going to divvy up his shares. And then he gets a call, and then him and his nephew, they rush to the hospital because the guy that got his, that was on, like, on the...
That one of the drunk guys on the bus, the one who was left alive with the make-do tracheotomy surgery... That was Julian's brother.
And so they go to the hospital. They see all the guys there, like, messed up. And then he goes in, and they're like, hey, I'm sorry, my bad. Your brother is dead. And then so he goes into this other office, I mean, the other, like, nurse room. I mean, no, the other hospital room where two of the thugs were, two mm-hmm. of the other hoodlums that were alive. And they're mm-hmm. like, who did this to my brother? And we're like, we don't know. It was just some guy on the bus. Mm-hmm. We're so sorry. It's like some random guy on the bus did this to all of y'all. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, Julian, why are you so mad? You didn't even like him. You didn't even care about him. It's like, I know, but like, that's my brother. So that's stupid for you to say that.
That's not the point.
Mm-hmm. It's like, your words may be true, but they are no, but they are not. But they are still unwise. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, for real, yeah, because that's still your family. You still gotta like do something.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're like in their whole little crime world, like if you wrong one of the members of a certain family, they're like, the retaliation is due.
You got from
to TV shows and movies that I've watched.
No one and documentaries like. That's usually what they do. There's some form of retaliation. You got to. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, who did this? And so they pull up the bus pass that Hutch had. And they're like, he did it. We have his bus pass. Mm-hmm. And so Hutch is now a new man. He's all happy
Which
and
lively. Which is so stupid. Why he grabbed the bus pass?
I know, right? Okay. But he's all lively and everything. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I just tore some guys up last night. Mm-hmm. I'm just feeling myself. Like,
my wife is cool with me again. And he's just going to live his best life is what he thought.
For real. And so that night, he was like, hey, y'all, how about I make us lasagna for dinner? And how about we go take a trip to Italy? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, word, that's what's up. And then that night he makes the lasagna. And in the kitchen, there's like a window. And he's staring out the window and he sees all these cars pull up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, wait, no, hold up. My bad. So there's this guy, so there's this scene, his brother calls him and is like, hey, man, I heard you, like, messed up these guys on the bus. And they're like, yeah, and? He's like, do you not know who those people were? It's this gang run by this guy called Yulian Koznisov, I think. I'm just going to say Yulian.
Girl, but, you're doing like, way better than I am.
Okay, go ahead. And it's like his brother's like, yeah, this is a guy named Julian. Mm-hmm. And he runs a gang. And then Hutch is like, listen, I really could not care less about what you're telling me right now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, listen, go to the barber and ask him about who this guy is. I'm telling you right now, you better go look into him. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, okay, fine, I'll humor you. And goes to this guy called the barber and he's telling him all his information. He tells him about who Julian is. He tells him about the op shack. He tells him that he's very fond of, like, art and music and singing and dancing and all that. And at the same time, Julian is, like, he's using the bus pass. And I'm like, unless the bus pass had, like, a name or something on it or something that you could track anything about the guy from, mm-hmm. I don't see how he was able to find on this. But he was like, listen, mm-hmm. I need you to find information on this guy right here. And so he hires a hacker, and she's looking into it, and she finds all this information about him killing people mm-hmm. and, you know, putting it in work. And so she's like, okay, yeah, listen, I'm going to give this information to you and I'm going to bounce. And mm-hmm. you don't even got to pay me. I'm going to leave right now.
I know. She said, I did my work and it is done.
She said, here, don't have to pay, and ran.
She left.
And then it cuts to, okay, so now after that, it cuts to that night and he's making dinner. And in the kitchen window, he sees all these cars pull up. And
Which then, the cars did that to themselves. They could have been so much more inconspicuous. Five or however many cars pull up with bright lights,
and you could have waited until it was like super late. Like it's probably like dinner time. People are maybe not still coming home from work.
You can see that there's lights on in the house.
Yeah,
if the lights are off, like that may be indication that they're asleep.
Wait till like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? When you can make sure they're like really good and asleep. You know what I mean? Because like when they did it, it was maybe around like 7 or 8.
I was talking about these bad guys, like they could have done it better. But they could have
like you live a life of crime or something. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, everyone get up and go to the basement.
Say less.
I know, like, okay.
And then they're in the basement, they broke into the house, and then
and then he's like, don't call 911. And then he closes the basement and then he goes and handles the business.
A whole fight scene ensued and Hutch came out on top. He won. And after the fight, he went to his family. Mm-mm.
They kidnapped him, remember?
They kidnapped him?
He got tased, and they put him in the car. And then he was in the trunk. And then he was able to get out of the trunk, like, break in out of the trunk into the actual car itself. And then there was a fire extinguisher, and he was able to like set it off, and then it was all foggy, and the car crashed. Mm-hmm. And then
the person driving the car was the nephew, and so
it was actually two other guys they hired. It was a guy and a girl, and the nephew was in the back
seat. Girl, where'd the cousin come into play? Because he was there.
He was in the back seat, remember? But there is a guy and a girl in the front. And then the cousin was in the back seat, and then he flipped out of the car and he got impaled.
Yeah, and so Hutch had a cute little convo with him, and then he killed him. He went back home, and he got his family from the basement, and was all like, y'all gotta go. And I will get you when everything is safe, and where we don't have to worry about these people no more. And so he sent them away to go, where, with their cousin?
He's been somewhere. And then
they just went somewhere. That's not there.
And then he also left a message for his dad. And he was like, hey, dad, listen. I just need you to know that something might happen. Mm-hmm. And you better be prepared. And the dad was like, say less.
As soon as he heard that message, or as soon as he finished listening to that message, two people were in the process of breaking in to his home. And so they got into the room where the dad was, and they came across the dad sitting in the chair, and they think that he's just like asleep at first, and then all of a sudden you see him pull out this big shotgun, and he shoots one dead, and then he shoots another. And at that point, there's a person at the front desk, because he's at a retirement home, and he came running in. He's like, oh my gosh, what was that?
He's like, can you turn the TV down, please?
Mm-hmm, because he's watching old Western films, and in old Western films, there's like guns galore. And he was like, will you turn down the volume? You got to stop doing that. And he was like, okay, fine. But when the front desk person left, you saw that the second guy that he shot was still alive, but just quiet, and he was choking him, and then he died,
covering his like nose and his mouth, like he can't breathe, and he just passed out. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, and then now this is the next part. Julian is in his club, he's in the scene again, and he's like doing his whole song and dance routine. Mm-hmm. And Hutch is like, you know what? He came into my house and took what was... Oh, no. He went back to the house, and he's doing this whole speech thing with all the people that were that he, like, messed up. Because he didn't kill them. He just, like, really severely hurt them, so, like, they couldn't move and everything. Mm-hmm. So he brought them all to the basement when his, like, family left and everything. And he's talking to them, and then he's like, listen, I'm going to tell y'all a little story about myself. He's mm-hmm. like, I used to work for this agent, for a three-letter agency. I was a guy that they would send when they didn't want... whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I'm the person that they would come to when they wanted to kill somebody, basically. And he's like, mm-hmm. and this one guy he came across, he was like, he like ripped some people off, and he was like begging, like, please let me go. I won't do this anymore. I promise you, I will change my life. And he was like, I gave him a chance. And he was like, a few years later, I was like, he went to go check up on him. And he said, I thought I'm going to go back to a life of crime. And he turned out, he got married, he had kids, he was working 9 to 5, and then he was like, I was actually jealous of him, because he had what I wanted. I want a family, I want this, that, and the third, whatever. And so he went to go tell his bosses, like, hey, I quit. He said that the bosses weren't happy about it, but oh well, he still quit. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, telling them like all this, like all this information, and then he noticed like something under the couch, mm-hmm. and it was the kitty cat bracelet,
and which is so funny. He had the whole realization of, wow, this thing all started because I went to go find these fake robbers, not even fake robbers, amateur robbers, and find the kitty cat bracelet, and it was here at this house the entire time under the couch.
And then he's talking to them, and he's like, oh, just heads up, like, bodies like start to like burn or something at around like however many degrees, and this basement goes up higher than that, so they won't be able to find y'all bodies mm-hmm. in the rubble. And so he like sets the house on fire, and I'm like, y'all have neighbors, these neighbors mm-hmm. do not care. You're telling mm-hmm. me you did not notice all these cars pull up in front of the house, You're not hear all that ruckus coming from the house.
Right.
You did not see them take this guy, drag him out of the house into a car and take off. And then you waited so long to acknowledge a fire. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you do not care. They said this thing got nothing to do with me. They said, I live in this house.
Yeah, because you know they have security cameras over there.
I know.
But it's like, listen, that does not involve me.
That's really what they said.
Like, I'll watch from a distance. That's all I'm going to do. It's like, yeah, there's that one crazy house in the neighborhood and everybody has stories about them. And you tell your friends and your family about that, but you don't interact with that house.
And he goes and he gets into his neighbor's car because his dad just died. And he was like, I didn't like my dad, but I liked his car and I have his car now. Mm-hmm. And so he just stole his neighbor's car and they wouldn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to Julian's place and this is where he keeps all of his like artwork and everything. And then while he's there, Julian's at the club and he's singing the Impossible Dream lit song. And so as he's singing, Hutch is going through and he's killing all these people. He stole some artwork. And then he set the op shack on fire.
Yeah, and around this time, like, to me, it always gave John Wick vibes. Like, it has the essence of what John Wick is. But him burning down this op shack place, I'm like, that's literally John Wick. That literally is what happened in the first movie.
It did?
Yeah.
Period.
That's okay if you don't remember.
And then so Julian's singing, they have him lip sync this song and the lip syncing was awful because I was like, y'all couldn't even make it try. Mm-hmm. So he's singing and everything and it cuts to Hutch sitting in the crowd of him singing and he's like sitting there, he's eating his dinner and everything. And then Julian, when he's done singing, he walks up to Hutch and is like, you got some business being here. You don't kill my brother. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, yeah, well, you came to my family, you came to my house and everything. And so he reaches for something and then turns out he has a bomb attached to his hand. Like, hey, if you want to act up, I will blow everybody up in here. Mm-hmm. So, next move is yours.
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe sit down.
And so Julian's all like, everybody leave. Everybody get up out of here. And so everybody leaves and they're talking and everything. He's like, okay, so listen, we can both start over. Mm-hmm. Like, Hutch is like, listen, we can both start over. You know, I killed your brother. You came to my house. And so, so Julian's like, you killed my brother. And then Hutch is like, well, from what I saw, he wasn't that good of a guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you came into my house, something you don't do, and we can both start over. Mm-hmm. And Julian's like, what do you mean start over? And he's like, oh, I burnt down the op shack. Like, you don't got anything left. And they're like, are you serious? And then he's like, listen, so you can either kill me and then, but like, listen, that's not gonna work out for you because the, like, all these gangs and mafias are gonna come after you because, let's be honest, you can't pay all that money back even if you wanted to. So what I'm saying is you have a nice little nest egg. Go ahead, get some, like, surgery, open up a little bar somewhere else and just live comfortably. And then he's like, I'll let you decide. Mm-hmm. Hutch gets up and he walks to his car and he just sits in his car and he's like, please come out this, please come out.
Yeah, he was waiting.
Please come outside.
He's probably a fire sign of some sort.
I honestly, that's all I got. I was like, he a fire sign because all he wanted this entire movie was the smoke.
I'm thinking Sagittarius or Aries.
100%. Mm-hmm. And so he comes out like an idiot. They're playing Heartbreaker by Pat Benatar, Liz Song. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, ooh, yeah, I won this all day. Oh, I forgot this part. Okay, so he ended up buying the his wife's dad's company. I forgot about this part.
Oh, yeah. He gave him some gold. And he brought the gold to the father, and he was like, here you go. I'm buying the place. I will have to buy the place. Here is gold. There is way more than what this place is worth. And the dad said, okay, I'm sold. Let's do it. And so he took the money, and then his son was like, no, don't do it, Dad. And he said, shut up. Which I'm like, yeah,
do you have gold to offer me?
I know. Do you have a bag filled with gold to offer me for this warehouse or what was it, like, I don't know, mechanic shop?
I don't know what the business was,
but I got gold in front of me, so that's all there is to say about it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, thanks, Hutch.
And then
did this earlier.
And then he's there, and he's making it. He's like, it's basically like an adult version of like the kid from Home Alone. He's setting all these booby traps and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he did all these booby traps, and I was like, oh my god, okay, that's lit. And so he's driving them all to this warehouse, and so he's getting like shot up and everything. And then all of a sudden, his brother comes out through a window and like and starts shooting. And he's like, "Remember when I said I wasn't gonna come out of hiding to come and save you? Well, here I am." Mm-hmm. And then his dad busts through a door and he starts shooting everything too. So then I'm like, "Oh, this is a family business."
Family business, yes, it is.
And so they're shooting and everything, and then the dad's saying this little story, like, "You know what? The retirement life isn't for me. You know, it's cute and everything, but I miss doing this." I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's what's up." Mm-hmm. And so they're going through the house, and they're, you know, not the warehouse, and then they're like fighting, they're killing all these people and everything. And then, like, at the end, they're, like, all together shooting people up. And then Julian comes out and he shoots his brother. And then he's like, "Listen, you're an idiot. You're a fool." And then Hutch, he grabs. He's like, "Okay, well, we're all out of bullets and everything. Like, so we don't have anything to shoot him with."
Before that, there was a scene of the three of them all back to back. And they were, like, killing all the people that were trying to kill them. It was a nice shot. So yeah, he killed Julian by a bomb that he had on him and like one of those,
like a shield,
yeah, the military shields. And he took the little, what's that thing called,
like tape or something,
the thing,
and attached it to the bomb. He attached the bomb to the shield and like rammed it into Julian.
Julian and dead. It blew up. Mm-hmm. Which I'm not sure how he also did not die as well, because he was just as close to the explosion as Julian was.
I know.
But I guess that doesn't matter. They all lived.
Movie logic. Yeah.
The dad, the brother, and Hutch, they all lived.
And then the police were on their way. And he's like, "Y'all go, I'll stay here and I'll explain everything." And then he sees he's like walking around the house and everything, in the warehouse. And he hears a cat, and the cat was like sucking like an air vent or something. And he's like, "Oh my God, you're gonna come home with me, I'm taking you home." Mm-hmm. And so the cops show up and they're like, "Who are you?" They're interrogating him, like, "Who are you? What do you do?"
Like, "I'm nobody." And they're like, "What?" And at that time, they receive a phone call, and they're like, "Yeah, boss, are you sure?" And then they hang up, and they said to him, "You're free to go." And then cut to the end of the movie, where him and his wife are looking for another house. And they're touring the house, and the realtor is there, and she received a phone call, and she said, "Oh, it's for you," for some reason. And he answers the phone. There's, like, an ominous look. And he's like, "You know what? Does this house have a basement?" And that's the end of the movie.
And then Let the Good Times Roll starts playing.
Yeah.
The soundtrack on this movie was lit, because it also had Nina Simone. I love her music.
Right. The Impossible Dream, forgot who that is by, but I feel like I have a lot of his songs in my playlist. Heartbreaker, Pat Benatar, I've Got to Be Me. Like, come on. Come on.
You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yes. They really...
What a Wonderful World.
Mm-hmm. Love that song. That's one of the songs that'll make me cry, actually. What a Wonderful World.
Aww.
Right? But they really went off with all the sound, with all the songs on the soundtrack. They're kind of just like all older songs, which are just like the best generation of songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It is. Literally anything made in 2000 sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things about the movie, I liked it because it wasn't like too serious. It wasn't serious at all.
Not at all.
One thing though that I always confused me about this movie though. So it was like they were in America, right? But they were all like, I always thought that they were like traveling from America to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, there's no way they could get there that quickly.
That was so funny to me.
And I kept racking my realization. I did. And I was like, "Y'all, this is so funny to me," because literally every time I was like, they're really traveling from Russia to America every time they had some beef. But then moving me down and be like, "Oh, they're not," was when Hutch went from the club, when he went to go and like, you know, antagonized Julian and he drove to the warehouse. Like, there's no way you could drive from Russia to America. And that's when I was like, this made no sense. That's and so, so I know.
Mm-hmm. I never actually had that thought.
Okay.
I just always assumed that they were here in America, and I was right. But I'm glad that you figured that out. I would have never known up until like a few months ago when you had the realization that they were actually in America. It's just funny.
I know. But I would say watch it. It's good. It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Nice little family movie.
I really don't think this is the type of movie where you can be disappointed. If you come into this movie knowing the type of energy that you want to watch, like, this is not a serious movie at all. There are some cool, fun fight scenes. If you want to listen to some good music, but also not follow a very concise storyline, it's
perfect. Exactly. Like, the storyline is good. Mm-hmm. It's not too much, like, rack your brain over. Like, apart mm-hmm. from me trying to figure out where, like, geographically this movie was taking place,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. And it's a nice, fun watch by yourself or with, like, a whole group of people. We watched it with a group of people, and that was fun. And, you know, our usual people that we hang out with.
Our friends.
Yes. And it was a good movie. So I recommend watching it. And the soundtrack was amazing. Best part.
Awesome. That's it for me.
Mm-hmm. Me as well. So thank you all for listening. You can go on ahead and follow us on Instagram at sugarcakeofficial.
And send us any questions or comments to our email, sugar.cake@yahoo.com.
Once again, our Instagram is at sugarcakeofficial.
And our email is sugar.cake@yahoo.com.
Bye.